Okay, it is Wednesday morning, Parshas Truma, Tovshin Pei Dalet. The beginning of the Parsha, Dabral B'nei Yisrael V'yichli Truma. The end of the Pasuk says, Tikhu es Truma Si. And the next Pasuk says, V'zos HaTruma. So Rashi comments that the three words Truma and the Torah here allude to the three different contributions that the Torah requests of us. Number one, everyone gives a Truma Bekal Gogolas, a certain amount, which would be used to make the Adonim. The Adonim are the sockets upon which the Mishkan sat. And that's taken from the Pesukim and Pikude. So that's a Bekal Gogolas for the Adonim, for the sockets, and that's obligatory. The Achas Truma Samizbeach, and one is the Truma we give for the Truma's Mizbeach, again, a Bekal Gogolas, a certain amount per each head. And with that money, they purchase the Karbonis Tzibor. That's the Parsha Shkolim. You know, that happened around Rosh Chodesh Adar. We read the Parsha Shkolim to remind us of that. And those funds were used for all the Karbonis Tzibor. And the new fiscal year began in Nisan. The monies that were brought in the month of Adar that were collected are used to buy the Karbonis Tzibor. That's also obligatory upon every Yid. And that's an obligation. And then we have the Trumas HaMishkan, which this Parsha is speaking about at length, and that's the Nedava of each person that brought the various materials that are used for the Mishkan. And this is only a voluntary mitzvah. Kol ish asher yidvenu liba, you bring as much as you wish to bring. So that would explain why it says v'yikhu li Truma, and you take from me Truma. It doesn't say v'yitnu, and you will give Truma, you will take. Because taking connotes something that must be done against your will, so to speak. Right? And that is because the first two Trumas that we spoke about, the Bekal Gogolas, for the Adonim and for the Karbonis Tzibor, that is every Yid is mechuyav to take. So there is a v'yichu aspect. It's done. Whether you like it or not, so to speak, it's v'yichu, and it's taken, and as opposed to v'yutnu. That's how we would understand the word v'yichu. I'd like to share with you a mahalach that I forgot which sefer it's mentioned in, but it speaks about these three trumas that are connected: Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Okay, let's speak about the first one. The first one, as for the Adonim. The Adonim are the sockets. The Adonim, the sockets, are those things upon which the whole Mishkan rests. It's the Yesod, it's the foundation. And that's connected to Avraham Avinu. The word Adonim or Oden, right, is the same word as Adon, master. And it says that the first one to refer to the Rabbanu Shel Olam as Adon Olam is Avraham Avinu. You'll find, remember, back in the Chumash when it says the Malki Tzedek was Melech Sholem. The Malki Tzedek was the Kohen. He was the priest Lekel Elyon, to the God above. So when he was the priest, it was Kel, the Rabbeinu Shalom, who was only above. But Avraham Avinu, he brought the Rabbeinu Shalom down to this world, and he made him a Adon. He recognized him as an Adon upon the entire world. There's a well-known story, if you will. It's more than a story, but as someone told the Vilna Gaon, he says the reason why he understands why we say Adon Olam in Shacharis, right? First of all, you find it, in the Karbonis, you find Adon Olam beginning, and certainly at the end of davening on Shabbos and Yom Tovim. Why do you say Adon Olam at Shacharis? Because Adon Olam, the title Adon, it refers to what Avraham Avinu recognized, how the Avraham Avinu recognized the Ribbono Shel Olam, and Avraham Avinu was Mesaken Tefillah Shacharis. So therefore, in Shacharis is when we say Adon Olam, and they said that the Vilna Gaon, he liked that observation. Okay, so now we have the Bekal Gogolas connected to Adon, connected the Adonim, which is connected to Avraham Avinu. The second one is the Karbonis Tzibor. Now, we know, right, with the Rambans, and we've learned this together over the years, in various ways, beginning with the Akedah, that the Akedah was the Yesod where Klal Yisrael brings a karbanos, brings a karban, just like Avraham Avinu was prepared to offer up Yitzchak, and Yitzchak was readily agreeable to have himself offered up. And the Ramban learns is that when a person is chayven a karban, really, it's our blood that should be sprinkled on the Mizbeach. The karban should be from us, but the aisle is the substitute for Yitzchak, and so therefore the karban is a substitute for us, for our kapora. So the whole yesod, right, the whole yesod of Avodas Hashem in terms of a karban, and that's Yitzchak. Yitzchak was a Ola Tamima. So when you speak about the second donation that corresponds to the Karbanos, the Avodah, that's Keneged Yitzchak, and that's pretty obvious. The third one is the Truma for the Mishkan, which is comes from our own volition, right? Kol Yisrael Asher Yidvenu Libo. Yaakov Avinu is the Av that's associated with the concept of doing something of your own volition. For example, Tefillah of Ma'ariv is a Rishus. Ma'ariv means, according to the Gemara, really you have a choice to daven Ma'ariv or not. Tosfos explains it differently. Tosfos says it's only if you have nothing else, right? That's not dochit, but otherwise we do. Now, we, Klal Yisrael, has accepted upon ourselves Ma'ariv. You may not opt out of Ma'ariv nowadays, but Medina de Gemara, we view Shachas and Mincha, of course, as an obligation, and Ma'ariv is a Rishus and it's with its halachic ramifications. That's connected Yaakov. I once spoke out that Yaakov Avinu is the Av of Golus, right? He's the Av that gives us the force to endure Golus. And again, Golus is something that is Rishus, meaning to say it didn't have to be, right? And as if Klal Yisrael would not have done the Averis that it did, it would not have had to go to Golus. So it wasn't carved in stone that there has to be a Golus. In other words, it's either yes or no, but it didn't have to be. So Shachris and Mincha, you have to daven Ma'ariv, by its very nature, is linked with the Yaakov Avinu. It could be, it doesn't have to be, but you find more than that. You find Yaakov Avinu, it says he left the Vayetzi Yaakov Mibershava. He left of his own volition. He wasn't asked by the Rebbeinu Shlom to do that. Now, his parents did tell him to leave, but it means a point. When he left, it wasn't Alpit Sivu Hashem. Okay, and then after he made that decision, then the Rebbeinu Shlom appears to him when he goes to Har Moria, right? So the Rebbeinu Shlom then appears to him and assures him that everything will be fine. He goes to the house of Lavan. At some point at the end, he sees that Lavan's attitude towards him is not the same. In other words, what you're getting from there is that Yaakov Avinu is already, his emotion and his attitude is we've overstayed our welcome here at the house of Lavan. And right when he makes that observation, really that observation came from him. But then the Rebbeinu Shlom appears to Yaakov and he says, "Now it's time to leave the house of Lavan and go, and I'll bless you." So again, the actual seed of his leaving really is something that he came upon himself. The third time he acts on his own is when he leaves Canaan to go to Mitzrayim, right, to see Yosef, right? The Rebbeinu Shlom did not tell him to go down to Mitzrayim. Yaakov Avinu goes down to Mitzrayim, and then he has a dream, and he has a nevuah, and the Rebbeinu Shlom says, "Go to Mitzrayim, I'll be with you, and I'll return with you," right? So again, you find that Yaakov Avinu, he takes the first step, and then the Rebbeinu Shlom kind of embraces that decision, and that's called Isarusa Dilatata. Sometimes the awakening has to come from us. Sometimes the awakening is in the Rebbeinu Shlom. So Yaakov Avinu is the Av. If it's Arusa Dilatata, it's coming from us. It's coming from Yaakov Avinu. It's coming from his own volition. And after it comes from his own volition, and he chooses to do so, after that, the Rebbeinu Shlom embraces that decision and so to speak, and validates it and goes with it. So therefore, that's the third donation. The third Truma is that we bring of our own volition and to build the what? To build that Mishkan, you see? And that's what Yaakov Avinu accomplished for Klal Yisrael, that you can't take a Dover Shabbat. Now, the third Brachin Shemana Esrei is what? Atah Kadosh. That's Keneged Yaakov Avinu. The first bracha is Magen Avraham. That's obviously connected Avraham Avinu. The second bracha, Mechayim Meisim, is connected Yitzchak Avinu. The Medrash says that actually at the Akedah, there actually was a departure of Yitzchak's neshama from his guf at that point. That's actually what happened, and the Ruchnius level, the Neshava came, and therefore it came back after the Akedah. So you see, in Yitzchak you have a Machayim Mesim, a resurrection of the dead. And what do you have by Yaakov Avinu? A Kedusha. What is Kedusha? Kedusha is when we take the mundane and we turn it into something holy. That's our job in this world. Atakadosh Yashimcha Kadosh, that the Ribbono Shalom is Kadosh, right? Obviously, that's who the Ribbono Shalom is. But in terms of that we should be Kadosh, means that we endeavor in this world with the physical kalem, the faculties that we have that are very physical, and with all of the appetites and drives that we have, and we take that and we make that more sublime, and we convert that into something very holy. That's what the Yid does. We could take everything, every taiva that the guy has, that if we have it, but what they go with it and they use it and they become more magushim, and we go ahead and we refine ourselves with it and we use it in the service of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's Kedusha, to make that holy, to elevate that, the elevation. And that's what Yaakov Avinu did. Now, Yaakov Avinu was able to live in a house of a Lavan, a house of Tuma, and he's allowed to endure, and he's able to endure, he's able to bring himself out of that and to elevate himself and to remain the same tzaddik. So therefore we have the Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov as it relates to the Shemona Esrei and as it relates to these three trumas that Rashi's talking about. What I'd like to also share with you is a piece in the Sefer from Reb Meir Soloveitchik. I think it's a great piece, really great piece. He goes on V'yichuli Truma. I saw this yesterday, and I got taken with it because of the halachic side that it has to it on a level. V'yichuli Truma Lishmi. The Gemara says in Pesachim, see, Rashi says you should take Truma. The first Rashi is Lishmi, L'shem Shemayim. He says, well, wait a second. Why all of a sudden is it saying Lishmi? The Gemara says in Pesachim that a person should always do mitzvahs Lishma. And if you can't reach that madrega, do it shalol lishma, shemitoch shalol lishma, bol lishma. But you see that the ideal is to do a mitzvah l'shem shemayim for the sake of heaven without your own personal gain. You're doing it simply because the Ribbono Shel Olam wants you to do it. So why is the lishma aspect pointed out in this parsha more so than in any other mitzvah that you should do it lishma? So he says that the lishma that Rashi is referring to here does not mean do the mitzvah l'shem shemayim, like learn Torah lishma, like sit in the sukkah lishma. That's not what it means. It's the word lishma that Rashi says at the beginning of the parsha is the same kind of lishma that is used when it talks about making tzitzis or baking matzah. In other words, it's not that you eat the matzahs lishma. Of course, at the Seder, you eat the matzahs lishma. Of course, when you put on your tzitzis, but when you make the tzitzis, it's made l'shem mitzvah tzitzis. When you bake the matzah, it's baked l'shem mitzvah. And what does that mean? You're infusing a certain status of lishma into the object of the mitzvah that you're going to use for the mitzvah. Okay? So by the time you sit down at the Seder, now I'm going to do the mitzvah. But what am I doing the mitzvah with? I'm doing it with an instrument, right? With this matzah that when it was baked, there was lishma put into it. It was infused, the article was infused with the lishma. That's true by tzitzis also. You say l'shem mitzvah tzitzis. So he wants to say that just like when you bring a karban, you designate the animal l'shem chatas, l'shem ola, right? You're infusing the animal with a kedusha at the time that you designate it. Not just the time that you bring the korban, but when you take an animal out of your flock, you say hare ze ola, and that infuses, and it has a status of kedusha at that point. Okay, so the same thing is true. When you brought these materials, he says it doesn't mean just bring the material, but it means you're mafresh the material lishma. You're infusing the gold and silver and the materials. You're infusing it with a din of lishma, and he says that's why Rashi says truma hafrasha. It means to separate it out. You separate out means you infuse it with lishma before you bring it to the effort of the of the Mishkan. The Unkla says v'yafreshun kadamai afreshusa, you separate it out. That's the halacha, that you can't just take mundane materials and bring it to the Mishkan effort, you know, to the Mishkan drop off station. It wasn't just a drop off station, but at home. V'yikhu, doesn't say v'yitnu, v'yikhu, take it, meaning be mafresh it, take it for yourself, take it aside from all the other gold and silver that you have, take it as an act of being makdish it, of making it holy, and then it will have a kedushas bedek habayis, a kedushas damim, and he says that's when it says that you will make the mizbeach, you will anoint the mizbeach will be kedusha kedoshim. He says that when you make the mizbeach, it's to elevate the otherwise kedushas bedek habayis, the lower level of kedusha. Why does it have a lower level of kedusha? Because the materials that you separated out that were made into the mizbeach already had a level of kedusha from the fact that you are mafresh it like that. Okay, but now when you built the mizbeach and it was anointed with oil, now it becomes a higher level of kedushas haguf. He says the same thing as we learn, the Yerushalmi learns out that when you take out, now this is similar to what? To another kind of truma of grain. When you have the tevel, you separate out the part of truma, makes that holy, and then you give it to the kohen. In fact, the halachas of who cannot take off truma, a cheri shet of a cotton, or someone that doesn't own that the grain is not his, or a goy, and so on and so forth, they cannot take off truma's dagan. And the Gemara learns that. How do you know they cannot take off truma's dagan? It's learned from truma's hamishkan, v'yichli truma prat legoy. Now that v'yichli truma that the Yerushalmi is bringing is the pasuk of Trumas HaMishkan. Yet the Gemara, the Yerushalmi is learning that this is the halacha that applies to Trumas Dagon, that, you know, Goyim can't take it off and Kutin can't take it off and so on and so forth. They can't be mafreshit. So you see clearly that the Yerushalmi is understanding that the same halachas, or I should say the same concept that applies to taking off the separating out and being makdish, the materials of the Mishkan are one and the same as a Trumas Dagan. Or else, what are the two? How do you learn Trumas Dagan from Trumas Mishkan? One is to create Truma, and one is just to take, you know, from your gold and silver and bring it to the depot. No, it's not just to bring it to the depot. You're makdish it, you're mafresh it, you're making kedusha, just like Trumas Dagan. The same is true, Rashi says, by the Big Day Kodesh for Aaron, Rashi says, you take of also Big Day Kodesh, mi Truma hamukudeshish lishmi, from the Truma that was already sanctified for me, for my sake, make the Big Day Kahuna. So Rashi is saying it beautifully. From the materials that are already mukdash lishmi, the gold, the silver, the argoman, the dyed wool, and so on and so forth, all of those are already mukdash lishmi. Take those and make from them Big Day Kahuna. So you see clearly that the concept was for the Mishkan, be makdashit, that's what lishmi means, and you infuse it with the kedusha, and then it's used. And then he says that this is only true by the Mishkan itself, but all other matters, ledoros, for future generations, it's not done that way. For future generations, if materials are needed, you just take materials, you know, and give it to the depot, so to speak. Hey, for example, we'll end with this, in Parshas Tetzaveh, v'yukhu eilecha shem and zayish, you take oil, and there, on the it says v'yukhu, like it says v'yukhu here, but the unkla says, v'yafreshinu kadamach malos, but here he says, He says the lashon is v'yispin l'chamish chazesa. Right? You should give it. It doesn't say you should be mafresh it. So the same word v'yikhu here in the beginning of Truma is hafrasha, which has this connotation of you infuse it with the kedusha, you're mafresh it from the rest of your goods. And over there by the Shem and Zayas, it doesn't say you're mafresh it. It just says you bring it. He says, because Shem and Zayas was something that whenever they needed to replenish, they brought more oil. So the only time that they needed the mafresh to make a kedusha was at the very, very beginning when it's the first building of the truma. But anything that it's ongoing to replace, to replenish, that doesn't have to have this halacha that you have to be makdish at first. He goes on with other beautiful rayas here. Time doesn't allow because it's already 6:45 and I want to go to the Shiva house. So have a good day and be matzliach. Bye, Gavriel.